Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lanfrisette for Success, where we help you transform your business, career, or life, often through the creation of a roadmap. And let's just say that you're sitting in your backyard one fine summer day, drinking something cold and basking in the sun, thinking to yourself, I need to find a problem to solve, something that people will want to buy. What would that be? Now think about that for a second. What would it be? What product or service or big idea would you come up with? Would you come up with overall? A friend of mine once told me that people have million-dollar ideas every day. The problem is they do nothing about it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I suspect that in my life, I've had a few ideas that I've had run with them. I might be in a different place financially today. Maybe I'd be running a different company. I have no idea. Maybe you feel the same way. So I'm not too sure if that's true or not, but I think maybe everybody do have a million-dollar idea. But I can't think, or I can't help but think what that big idea, a new product or service would be if it would just pop into my head one day and I would be able to move on it and make it happen. You know, something I guess a serial entrepreneur knows only too well. And I guess it takes a lot of thinking, maybe even a lot of minds to innovate, create, and put something to market, a new product to market, a new service to market. So whatever that big idea is, how would you launch it? How would you get it off the ground and get it going? And then where would you go for help to actually make that happen? I mean, so all these questions keep coming to mind when I think about these kind of things. I would think further that there'd be partners, investors that would be extremely important for your venture. And I think that maybe that's what we're going to talk a little about today with my guest, an innovative business venture person, Bryce North, one of the partners of TrapTap. Bryce, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was excited that you said you'd come back on the show. You were on with me about a year and a half ago or so. We talked a little bit about your organization. So that was a lot of fun. Bryce, to get started, I think it's probably good that we talk a little bit about who you are. So why don't you tell our listeners about Bryce?
Yeah, absolutely. And you dropped that word serial entrepreneur, which I love to claim myself as.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
No,
right?
It's good, right?
So I just happened to say that.
It's a hard status to hold, but
it's a hard status.
You know, I definitely claim myself as that. I've been in the startup community since its inception. When it was, Rampant Manitoba, now North Forge, but starting my flagship company that kind of got my name spread around a bit was AdBulb Media, and that allowed me to compete all around North America, winning prizes and best startup and best pitch, and really got me familiar with the startup world. And it was a reason, you know, I started kind of building my network and trying new ideas and finding the right ways to fail.
The right ways to fail.
You have to fail extremely fast and validate even quicker. In order to find exactly the right pathway to go on, see if there's a product market fit.
Yeah.
You know, like you mentioned earlier on, there's a bunch of ideas that we have. And within myself is just, you know, how do you cycle through these ideas and find ones that actually stick? And it's failing fast. And so I've done that for many, many years here. And it's led me to my new company here called TrapTap. And that product was built with my network, the people that I've built. Failing throughout these years, becoming that serial entrepreneur and trying to find these opportunities.
Wow, that's a tough thing to do, sort of fail fast, fail often sort of idea until you actually become successful. I mean, that's because who likes to fail?
You have to like to fail. That's just the part about it. And everyone's scared of failure, but if you embrace that, then you use that as a tool in order to exceed and excel a little bit further. Then you found that one secret that it really kind of separates those people who are not successful from those people who are successful.
Okay.
And that is failure. It really is.
It is really. Okay, so I think what we can do is we can talk a bit more about that maybe just a little bit later on. I started off asking about yourself, and I know you have a couple of partners too,
yes.
Adam and Gordon. Gordon. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you guys overall. Are you all from Winnipeg?
Yes, we are. So Adam and Gord, they've moved to the U.S., and Gord was from Toronto originally, but they were born in Winnipeg, left, and then came back to kind of grow their companies at the time. So myself, you're born and raised in Winnipeg, having left, been part of the innovation scene, trying different things, and met Adam and Gord at one business mixer. At the King's Head Pub, which I usually find my best ideas come from there.
From the King's Head Pub.
From the King's Head Pub.
I hear a lot about that place. Anyway.
But no, it was great. And they sat down, approaching myself and another person, Dustin Revick, which also is another staple in this community here, asking about a business idea and decision that they made. And through that conversation, we told them that something that we were kind of moving along with called TrapTap. And now Adam and Gord are phenomenal product engineers. Adam itself is a plastics designer, a creative genius, and Gord is one of the smartest electronic board engineers, so electrical engineer and software designers I've actually ever met. And they said, if you can build this thing, and they said, if you can market this thing, then we'll go together. And that's kind of what happened. And so okay. We started right away and started validating.
So let's step back a little bit, because we're talking about your company. We're talking about TrapTap. Did I get it right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, just want to make sure. There's a lot going on there. We should tell people what it is.
Let's
do that right now.
Absolutely. So TrapTap started because I found myself getting way too many speeding tickets. Now, I mean, like everyone else, I claimed as a great driver. And sometimes you follow the flow of traffic and you miss that intersection with that camera or that sidecar, or even enter those school zones. You don't know where
you have a moment where you forget that you're in a school zone, your mind's elsewhere, and you go through it a little bit too fast.
And sometimes you need a simple reminder to slow down. And that's why we created TrapTap, which is the simplest little device. It's smaller than a hockey puck. It sits on your car dash and flashes different lights and sounds in order to remind you to slow down. So red when you approach red light cameras in intersections. Blue for those any mobile speed traps on the side of the road, which is community set. So if you see a cop with a radar gun, simply tap the button. Yellow for school zones. Green when you're speeding.
Green when
you're speeding. So you can set the threshold within the app. I guess how many kilometers above the speed limit you want it to remind you. Yeah. So it's 5. If you go 5 clicks above, it'll start flashing green.
Well, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So you've used basically the basic colors for that are used on analysis, right? Yeah, red, yellow, green, and blue.
Yeah.
Right. So the common colors that are used in most organizations. I'm curious as to how the idea for TrapTap came about, because you talked about ramp up and innovation and going to your favorite pub for ideas and then chatting with people. Like, where was the first initial thought born from?
Thought born when I was with my current partner right now, Dustin, and we were sitting down talking to all the ideas that we had, and my problem with speeding tickets just surfaced, and I
problem
said,
to solve.
I would love my Fitbit vibrated every single time I went through a red light camera or just beforehand, right? Or let me know when I was speeding. And he's like, that's created a device that does that. And we looked at what's on the market. Nothing was simple.
Okay.
Nothing was simple. So we thought, let's put that together. And that's kind of how the idea and the inception was created. And then from there, we just launched it on Kickstarter, which is, a platform to kind of pre-sell and pre-raise money for your product and validate it through the community. And we did really well. So something I'm really proud of. In 9 short months, we conceptualized an idea, we prototyped, we tested, we delivered and pre-sold close to $700,000 worth of product.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. With that thought in mind, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a bit more in detail to how you guys achieved that. It's Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Bryce North. We're talking about his company, TrapTap. And I'm excited for Bryce, how you guys started out and everything. In our last segment, you talked about conceptualizing an idea and sort of sitting down with a friend and solving a particular problem. Was there a special process that you guys went through for that innovation? Like, was sort of a normal process that you'd follow for all the other things that you talked about previously, and this one was the one that stuck?
Yeah, that's a great question. And now that I think about it, it's kind of like second nature for us and how to push a product through. Me thinking about the first time I did this and how lost I was. And you really just, once you know what the avenues and where to go, who to talk to, the right places, start posting your idea and get that feedback and validation, things become extremely easy. And from everyone from the outside who's never done this before, it seems extremely hard.
Yeah.
But for us, we've built a network from our previous companies, and who can we call up from previous investors or people within the space who might have connections? And I'm going to pause there and say your network is everything, absolutely everything. I mean, if you're one of those people who are scared to talk about their idea, you're shooting yourself in the foot. No one's going to steal it. No one has the time, and you should be telling everyone. I mean, that's how you build that network and going out to meet everyone. So rewinding back here, when we had this idea, we literally talked to the main people that we knew in our network were smart enough to help validate this. And if you don't have that network, who says you can't go online and go on LinkedIn and start finding those people or posting on Reddit or just asking the consumer's opinion of your product? So from there, it really doesn't matter what you think about your product or what your friends think. It's what the market thinks.
Okay.
And that's good advice. The market should validate where it should fit. So that product market fit, the market should validate your pricing, and the market should validate exactly how you should sell this and where that door or that pathway you're going to go in order to succeed in this idea. And a great avenue for us, like I mentioned before, was Kickstarter.
Yeah, you mentioned Kickstarter. Yep. I didn't want to go too deep into it in the first segment, partly because we're running out of time, but I think it's a great thing to talk about actually right now. I've known lots of different people have used Kickstarter, so maybe you can sort of riff on that a little bit. How did you guys use Kickstarter?
Yeah, absolutely. And Kickstarter originally started off as a platform to throw up ideas on there, get funding, and help people fund the idea, essentially. And it's transformed a lot into a product sales page, but as everyone's looking for deals everywhere, but there's still that component to it that allows you to really reach out and talk to your customer. And that's the main focus that Kickstarter or any other crowdfunding platform like Indiegogo or GoFundMe should be, is a way to find out what the market thinks. And Kickstarter is used for price validation. So really, it's the only platform where you can start off low and start raising your prices because you have different tiers and rewards, and you have early bird access to cheaper prices, and you can start raising from there, capping out to the point where no one's purchasing anymore, and then reopening the lower ones.
Okay, so you have some movement where
exactly.
You can play around with. Yeah.
So the only place platform I know where you can raise price, right?
Okay.
And the second portion here is actually getting feedback from early adopters who have not tried the product yet, but they give their recommendations and their thoughts on how the product should operate, how it should look, the colors it should be, based upon, you know, the imagery, the video, and the content you put on your Kickstarter page, you know, how they were being receptive to that.
Yeah, right?
And then it's your product market fit. Find exactly, you know, your demographics, the audience as well, you know, geographics as well, where this is going to work, and seeing if there really is that fit within the marketplace, right? If this is a good spot for retail. I mean, Kickstarter is a great platform to get PR, right? And that's what you want, is news articles picking you up. We are fortunate enough to be featured in TechCrunch, Engadget, this Discovery Channel, Popular Mechanics. I mean, we had the big guys pick us all up, but they loved our idea. And from there, you know, you could see the comments and people are saying and seeing how excited the press was getting. So we knew something that we had was going to stick.
Okay.
So we ran that campaign and we built up a lot of PR. We got validation from our customers. And we pre-sold, like previously mentioned, close to, I think it was almost 400 on that platform and then another 300 on another platform. But
now, when you say, are you talking about units? Are you talking about money?
I'm talking about units.
Units.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, money. So I should say money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
because
yeah.
$400,000
within pre-sales of product.
And $300,000. So pre-sales of product, you don't even have the product created yet.
Here's the funny part is that usually when you go on these sites, you should have a prototype. We had nothing. We had images. So
okay.
we 3D rendered.
Okay, yeah.
And you're not supposed to do that too much, but I mean, if you, we knew we'd brilliant engineers that actually could design this thing. But I mean, why spend so much money into developing a product if no one's going to buy it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we 3D rendered and came up with images of product, what it looks like. We came up with the video and did post effects on that, how it would operate. And one of the hardest things for us is actually creating a device that actually looked like our images.
Oh, right.
Like
yeah, because
images,
now it's
right?
a reality.
Now
yeah.
it's reality. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. now it has to be this size to flash these colors. And we had a heck of a time with, you know, the LED brightness and having that resonate and be bright enough in
yeah.
the sun. And not too bright in the at nighttime, right?
And nighttime, so it doesn't sort
exactly.
of blind you when you're driving.
Yeah, and I mean, these are interesting challenges. Like,
yeah.
hardware products are hard, and they say that.
Okay.
I mean, you don't make money off your first 10,000 units. You don't. And we were close to actually coming up to a profit off of that, which was really interesting for our case here. But, yeah, coming to that in itself, though, I mean, we used that platform from had nothing just to prove an idea that people wanted it.
So when did you originally get onto that platform? So when did you, when you introduced this particular product into that platform?
Yeah,
time frame. I'm looking for
mid-March of 2016.
Yeah, so that's not long ago. That was
no.
like 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
something along that lines. Did you see that level of success rapidly? Or was it something that just sort of built up over 6 months or 8 months? Because I'm thinking technology, right? Rapid development, real quick things that are happening fast. Did you,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
how did
in
that
the
fly?
Very beginning, we had a lot of people, you know, pledge or, you know, pre-purchase product. And we got featured in some cool places like Uncrate and some great websites like previously mentioned. And through that process, we did a 60-day campaign, which is as long as you can
okay.
do. And they don't all recommend right. going that long because you lose momentum, but we kept them moving up and up. And near the very end, we started to slow down a bit. You know, at that point, everyone's kind of questioning, well, can this thing really work? And I mean, that's what's great about early adopters. They're the first ones to jump on, but they're also the first ones to be more hesitant and leave, right?
Yeah.
We did that right, Dan. I mean, I think there are a few things that I learned from that platform we could have done better, but I think our execution and our trajectory was perfect enough that it got us to where we are today.
Okay. What we're going to do, Bryce, is we're going to take a short break, and I think the great spot to start our next segment is Where Are You Today?
Fantastic.
Okay, this is Richard Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Bryce North. Bryce North is one of the partners in TrapTap, along with his buddies Gordon, Adam, and I'm sure there's a few other people involved too. No doubt, Bryce.
A couple more.
Maybe at some point we can talk about that a little bit. So last segment we were talking about, you used obviously technology to get you to where you are right now. Where are you at right now? I mean, you pre-sold a bunch of units. You got excitement in the marketplace. You got all this really great PR. Sounds like you picked up about $700,000, I think, if my math is correct. So correct me on any facts.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
So where are you guys right now?
That's a great question. So after our campaign ended, we spent the next few months just delivering product, figuring out the whole fulfillment process. And it was interesting, we found that it was a lot cheaper for us to ship all of our product to California and ship back to Winnipeg than it was from shipping from Winnipeg to Winnipeg. Which is weird, right?
It is really weird.
We get a lot of people saying, you're a Winnipeg Canadian company, why are you shipping from the States? And it's like, honestly, I mean, if I can save you $5 or $6 on a product, would you not want that?
Yeah.
Would you wait a couple more days? And the answer is always yes.
Yeah, so there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have our fulfillment center out of LA that take care of all of our shipments, and we strictly sell online and other third-party marketplaces, and we've been building that. You can find TrapTap at TrapTap.com, but if you do a quick Google search, you'll see we're on Indiegogo still, Touch Modern every now and then, and a few other tech sites that we plug into. And that's what we've been carrying on with, is just selling online, hopefully getting to retail, and picking up and really carrying on the momentum that we had before, which gets us a lot of attention. We were recently just on Dragon's Den.
Yeah, no, and that was actually partly what I was watching that episode. And mm-hmm. So I was going, oh yeah, right on, I know Bryce. And that's partly why I wanted to have you come out and give us an update and everything. So you know what the big question is, right? Everybody's sort of like, well, what's it like to be on Dragon's Den?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. And so I pitch for a living.
Yes.
So a bit more, if I'm going to plug myself, is, I help companies learn how to pitch in front of investors, how to raise investment, how to create that presentation, and just killer in that boardroom. So I'm a veteran when it comes down to pitching in front of investors, VCs, and angels.
Yeah. And I would have to say that the presentation looked like it was, based on the environment and everything, right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It was so much fun. I loved it. So we were in that den for about an hour and a half.
Oh, really?
And on the show, you see it's, a couple minutes.
You see 3 or 5 minute segment or whatever, and it's done, right?
It was really, really interesting. Actually, what happened on that show is not really what happened with us pitching. They cut it up a lot. They made it look like my math was extremely incorrect, and when all that was settled, it was really funny, but it's for showbiz.
Yeah, of course, ratings.
When we first got accepted on that, they said, it must be TV worthy, and I said, I've done this before, I just want a straight, normal professional pitcher, and like, no way at all, it's got to be entertaining. So that's why we had a fun entrance of walking in with the car.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And a bit of a tease about something in my partner's pocket that would get you out of speeding tickets.
Yeah, which was a good joke, yeah.
It was fun. It's a good opener, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then going through that process was great. The Dragons are, majority of them are extremely friendly. The ones that aren't, I think they do it for TV. Even before going into the studio, you see them rehearsing their lines of I'm in, I'm out, just to, make sure that everything is running quite smoothly. But we were in there for a while, pitched our product, and they loved it. We got 3 offers within the show, one from Jim, one from Arlene, and one from Michelle, which was great. And going into that show, we wanted to pick Michelle. She's an online tech guru. She understands marketplaces, online e-commerce, and, in advertising acquisition, and we wanted that. And to see Jim's heartbreak on that show when we didn't pick him was a little disappointing.
Yeah, I think they sort of emphasized that actually when you go back and view it again, because I did go back and take a look at it.
You can see the moment when heart just breaks.
Sorry, Jim.
Yeah, I do feel bad about that. He's a great guy and loves Winnipeggers. But, we were happy with our decision here. And we filmed this back in April of this year.
Yeah.
So we've had to keep this a secret for a while, not telling everyone or anyone at all.
Now, did you have a whole network that knew that you were going on the show?
We were allowed to tell everyone that we're on,
yeah.
That we've been on, but we couldn't tell what happened.
What actually happened.
Yeah.
And so how, out of curiosity, tight-knit group, how many people knew the results of what had happened?
Well, I wasn't supposed to tell anyone, but yeah, I mean, there were a few.
Well, no, you got to tell
a few. I mean, there's
people.
Only so much when your sisters come up to you and say, we're family, you have to tell
yeah,
us,
yeah,
right?
Of course, like, yeah.
And then a few best friends, but it's hard to keep that stuff a secret, right?
Yeah.
But surprisingly, we did a good enough job where we held a little viewing party here in Winnipeg and had 150 people come out.
Oh, right on.
To the place where we first talked about Trapped, which is the King Set. So,
of course,
yeah,
of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So we had a little viewing party there allowed everyone to watch our success on the show, raising $500,000.
Yeah, was it 500,000?
Yeah,
$500,000. Was actually bang on,
right? I think it was 20% of the company or 25%. I can't remember what we pitched, but
yeah.
I mean, whatever happens on the show is not what happens behind the scenes.
No, that's the other piece that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, that's the due diligence process, and that's honestly something we're still going through right now.
Okay.
It's the deal has changed a bit, but I mean, you expect that to happen, right? I mean,
well, it's negotiations. All it was an opening. It'd be like you and I sitting down having coffee at our favorite coffee place, mm-hmm. but maybe for you it's the pub, and us working out a deal and based on what our thinking is, and then starting to get into the
exactly
details,
right.
And saying, well, okay, no, based on that, we got to make this change or that change. And that's normal. I think that should be a normal part of business life or life in general.
Oh, absolutely, right. I mean, people have to do the bit of the research in the company before they purchase or invest. And everyone's like, you didn't get the money right away. Well, I mean, it's non-binding, right? I mean, you can't have someone just say, I'm going to invest and have that legally hold up. And,
yeah.
So that's, it's all TV. It's all TV. But I mean, the great thing about Dragon's Den, I think they say it's worth $250,000 of PR. And I mean, that day, as soon as we aired, our sales just blew up.
Oh, really?
Thousands of percentage. Yeah. It was great. So we had a good week of, a good week of sales. And the worst part of it, so everything that could have gone wrong with Trap Tab has gone wrong. I can sit here for days and tell you the horror stories, but one from this event here is that our little buy button on our mobile site wasn't working. So I think we lost a lot of money off of that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like from the money
you realize,
we made,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of traffic more to our mobile than our desktop site. And it's unfortunate that wasn't working. I think we could have tripled what we made, but either way, it was a good success, and you learn from these things, and don't let it happen again.
Well, it's all the details, right?
Yeah.
It's all the details. When you're looking at bringing in an investor like, in this case, Michelle, it could be somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what does the road forward look like? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, when you say in road forward, like, are we looking to raise more money? Or
what some of the expectations would be, or can you speak to, what that journey might be look like in a future tense perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're looking to close that round, and I mean, looking to use that money just to ramp up a lot more, right?
Okay.
And that roadmap for us is, getting as many units out there as possible.
Okay, so there's a lot more in the increased sales capacity.
Exactly, right. And we want to explore retail a bit more, really step our online e-commerce, which is a beast in itself. Something extremely hard to do is learning how to market that properly. But I mean, majority of our market's in the U.S., I'd say about.
Okay. Yeah, it's a huge, huge
now
market.
It's about maybe 70% after Dragon's Den, but before it was about 80%.
Okay.
I mean, that's why we had a fulfillment center out there too, and all of our money's in U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
Americans complain a lot more about Canadian than Canadians complain about it's in U.S., so we're used to it, right?
Yeah, we're used to
it makes
US,
sense on our
USD.
End here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of our process right now, and exploring other avenues. I mean, we have 67 countries mapped out within TrapTap.
That's
and
one of the questions they're going to ask. Like
we don't just sell in North America. I mean, so right in the box, it comes pre-mapped with every other red light camera, school zone, and speed limit in 67 countries. And uses community to help tap the button when they see mobile traps or hazards on the road.
Yeah.
So we're looking at different partnerships for different countries and different and similar technologies that they want to plug into our hardware. And we're looking at different avenues. Insurance agencies is one, which is really interesting from TrapTab. We started off with a device to stop people from, essentially save people from speeding tickets.
It was a device
to do that, to remind you where other trap is on the road. And it's changed. It has changed from a device that actually shapes driver behavior. And we have studies and data to show that our device makes you a safer driver. We actually can slow down the average speed on a certain road just by reminding people to slow down. And we can shape how they drive and their safety. So it looks quite interesting on the insurance side.
That's interesting when you look at it from that perspective, because that now gets into the whole cultural issue and how people actually drive. I have more questions about your product, but we're going to have to take a short break. And when we come back, I got to ask one of the questions about, is this all legal? We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Bryce North of TrapTap. Now, Bryce, just before the break, I couldn't help when you started talking about insurance and about initially the product was about saving you money, right?
That's
you
correct.
Know, yep. No tickets, no money, no points, right? Less insurance rates. So it saves you in many different ways. But then you start talking a bit about the cultural aspect that it changes people's behavior. Because if you're notified you're speeding, maybe you'll slow down. Right?
That's correct. Yeah.
But then I sort of said, well, hold on. If you're mapping out the world and everything, is this all like legal? Like if you're putting all this stuff in there. So maybe a little bit about, is this legal and sort of how does it work? I guess it sort of fits in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's that one component of TrapTap that raises that question. It's, you know, informing others where police officers are.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything else in the device is totally fine.
Yeah,
and
because all it does, it tells me where my school zones are, where if I'm going through a camera, sorry, I'm giving the summary as we go along.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if I'm missing anything, let me know. But it's just sort of telling me like, okay, you
if
know
you're
what,
speeding you need to slow as well. And yeah,
if you're speeding as well, because you could pre-program in your desired speed, almost like they used to put governors on cars.
Exactly.
So, right? The old governor used to stop your car from going so fast, right?
Exactly.
You might not remember that. All right. I'm a little older. But anyway, go ahead. The legal aspect.
Yeah. So this is definitely a new age version. Let's say a flash in your headlights if you see a cop, radar, trap, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to speak to North America because that's where it really matters most, I think, to everyone here. But it's not illegal to tell other people where police officers are.
Yeah.
In fact, I have cops using our device who love our device. They get red light camera tickets too.
Yeah, sure. They forget, right?
Got to pay for them. And sometimes you don't know that changing speed limit from 80 to 60. There's tons of those areas around. I think McGilvery is really bad for it.
There's a few. Grant Avenue is another one. It's just like suddenly you're doing 60 or 70 or 60, and then you're down to 50, and you know, like, and it's easy to forget.
Oh, and this device is scary accurate. You know, it's like, I'm not speeding. Oh, no, I am, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's that school zone, but... So it's not illegal. It's you can tell people the location of cops. We don't detect radar, and we don't reflect or I guess bounce radar back. Right, like radar detectors, radar jammers.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it's legal.
So then, how does the device work? I mean, because you used the word mapping earlier on. So I'm going to just take a leap and say, then does it just sort of it uses all of this data that exists out there in the world, mm-hmm. and then it sort of comes into this whole device, and then it notifies you of all the mapped information?
So the device connects...
I'm simplifying it, right?
No, you are. The device connects your smartphone to Bluetooth, so the smartphone pushes that information. And from there, ideally, we have everything pre-mapped, and it pushes the data and knows your geo points.
Okay.
And then from at the point that community source, it's like a simple, easy button on your dashboard. If you locate a speed trap, you just tap it, or one of those side mobile cars, just tap it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that notifies other drivers to beware and just maybe they should slow down.
Exactly.
That's basically it. Basically, you know, even if you didn't have that component, I like the camera component. I like the school zone component. I like that you can actually have it set so that, you know, reminder that maybe you're speeding. I like the idea if you're older and have kids that drive your car, mm-hmm. you can set it to that too, right?
Oh,
maybe change their behavior a little bit.
No, it's great. And we get the question a lot of times, you know, just why don't you just slow down? You know, I mean, if that's the case, then there wouldn't be anywhere speeding tickets or, you know, police on the road. And, you know, we follow the flow of traffic and sometimes we forget.
And you know what? And talking to friends about speeding tickets, I know we're talking a little bit more about this. Most of my friends, when they talk about, oh, you know, I got a speeding ticket, they weren't mindful at the moment, right? Usually they drive really well and they just sort of forgot as they were going through a certain zone. Mm-hmm. And that's what I often hear a lot of comments. It's not like they're all speed demons or anything along that line. Just sometimes you just forget.
Yeah, you need a simple reminder and wear that tap on your shoulder when you accidentally step out of line in order to make sure you stay safe.
I get it. And the difference between my vehicle, my wife's vehicle, I drive a truck. I can feel the truck on the road mm-hmm. and I know the speed it's going. My wife drives a car. When I drive her car, I have to pay attention because I don't feel it the same way. And then suddenly I look and I go, oh my gosh, I got to slow down. So, you know, and I'm admitting that on radio.
No, that's great. Now insert trap that, right?
Well, there you go. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. You can easily reach us on our site at www.traptap.com or email at hello@traptap.com.
Yeah, so they can check out a few things there too. I was talking a little bit about challenges, I don't know, peaks, valleys, challenges, and the number of people you are. And then it's just some of the way that you handle some of your logistics. Like what you mentioned earlier in segment that it's actually cheaper for you to transport out of California to Winnipeg than from Winnipeg to Winnipeg.
That's correct, yeah.
But yet during the break, we were talking a little bit about your manufacturing process. Maybe you could talk a bit about your manufacturing
process. Yeah, and that's, I guess, a bit twisted, but we manufacture everything in Winnipeg.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
right?
Price Electronics, we use them. They're phenomenal. And they help then, you know, it's that question of why manufacturing here instead of China. I mean, when you create your first 10, 20,000 units, you need to be in that warehouse or that shop, you know, guiding and helping make sure everything is smooth as possible. So flying to China back and forth really racks up the cost.
Oh, yeah.
The language
huge.
Barrier and then your customs barrier, and they're just a big problem. And I mean, having something locally right in our backyard is really fortunate. And not a lot of people can do that. We got one, you know, I think the second largest prototype facility in North America within Winnipeg at the fabrication lab from North Forge, and we prototype and built everything there. And then Price Electronics has been growing with us at the pace that we are able to do right now and been very, very great.
How many units have you put through them at this point?
I think right now we've put, that's a great question here, over 10,000, 15,000 units.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on the small side here, absolutely. But I mean, they've been growing with us at the pace that we need, right?
Yeah. When you look at scaling your operations, because at some point in time, you must be having this conversation. Mm-hmm. Is there a number of units that you want to sell on an annual basis that you'd like to move to? Like, you guys must be throwing that number out by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, there is, right? I mean, 100 units a day would be great.
Okay.
And, you know, that's something that we want to aim for sure. But there's really no set number, just enough to sustain and move into the different avenues. I mean, we realize we have a shelf life with the hardware product.
Okay, yeah.
And it's in the data and the autonomous vehicles and the in-car systems we want to move, and that's down our product roadmap. And there are going to be still people, you know, who don't have that and utilizing TrapTap. So there's different avenues we have to go into, right? And right now, it's in how do we explore that? How do we build that pathway? And getting many units on the street is definitely a goal we have right now, but partnering with other people to get into these other areas is important too.
Yeah, and I noticed, and if we go back to your experience on Dragon's Den, mm-hmm. one of the questions that was asked, right now you're sort of a hardware play, right? You're
yep.
selling more of the hardware. But then it was asked whether you were considering doing like a membership type thing or on your site. Is that something that's still being floated around?
Yeah, we consider subscription services,
subscription service.
Maybe lowering the price. We haven't fully tested them too much, but there's a lot of different avenues. There's a lot of cool things we want to do with this app and gamification and upping up you know, the stats and data we collect and present to you as a driver. So this potentially could come into, you know, a freemium model, or if you want to upgrade, you definitely can.
Okay.
But isn't, you know, nothing we're going to implement right away.
I found it interesting. You said gamification mm-hmm. Of that. Can you speak to that a little
yeah,
bit more?
Yeah, you know, we've been exploring that a bit, you know, and comparing with you and your friends and the rest of the community, who's the safest driver, or, you know, who speeds less. You know, if we can create a safe way of doing this where you can compare yourself. And whether you're getting points or whether you're getting rewards for driving safe, if we can get insurance agencies on board, your premiums are reduced by driving safer.
It's instant information, right?
It is.
I mean, it's like it's data that can be used now to determine, for example, we go down the insurance rate avenue, what your insurance is today.
Exactly, right? And say, like, yeah. Hey, Richard, you know, if you slow down around that corner, you know, you took while going on, you know, the 59 at this area here. Your insurance could be lower or
your points could be
exactly,
better
right.
or there's yeah. some kind of reward, so to speak, mm-hmm. for actually engaging in maybe better driving behavior. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that sort of idea of gamification. I'm competitive. I can't help it. I'd compete against my friends. What a great show. I've been having a great time chatting with you, Bryce. If you had a final thought for listeners, what would it be?
Yeah, absolutely. My biggest thing is if you have an idea, just talk to your network and try to validate it as quick as possible. And really just go out there and talk to all your customers.
Yeah, that sounds to me like that's what you guys did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bryce, for joining me.
Absolutely.
Listeners, obviously, I want to thank you for tuning in today. Bryce North of TrapTap has been an awesome guest. Love all the information, all the fresh information. You know, listeners, if you have a final thought or a question or an idea for a guest, I'm more than glad to receive a note. Just richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.